We constantly hear messages about giving, but what about what you are to get? What about receiving? And I want to talk to you today about wide receiver.
And now for wide receiver.
Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. And the scripture that we're going to be using today, you've heard this before. I even preached from this a few weeks ago, but it's a whole different angle. Mark chapter 14, beginning at the third verse. And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Wide receiver. Now, a wide receiver, most of you know that as a football position. It's the position that's on the end of the formation, on the left and on the right. That position is called the wide receiver. When I was playing football, yeah, I did play football. I played football in elementary school, and I was actually an end. I was a wide receiver. And I wasn't the biggest fella in the world. I was skinny as I can be. But I was fast. So I was on the end, I was a wide receiver, and I would run out and catch the ball. The wide receiver's position is basically to catch the ball, to run, and to block the defense. And I was good at catching, I was good at running, but that defense was another story. And that's why sometimes things will stick in your mind. I remember we were playing Kimberly Elementary, and they had this one giant on the team. You can see all the other, and he'd be this hump, this one little fella about a foot above me, just a big old fella. And I remember once, and he was coming around me, he had the ball running, and the coach said, get him, Nathaniel. I stepped to the side, let that wrestle go on by. I'm not tackling this big old fella, this big old Goliath. I was not in the David mentality, and this was a Goliath. So even though I was a wide receiver, I was not about to receive that fella. I just got out of his way and let him go on about his business. But so often, we are not in position mentally or spiritually or even physically to receive. I had an experience on my recent trip. I was in New York last week, and I saw a father with his little daughter sitting out on the wall where I was parked, and I just watched them for a minute or so. And I walked over to him, and I said, "Look, it's so beautiful you here spending time with your daughter." I said, "I'd like to just buy you all lunch today." And he said, no, we're fine. He wouldn't take it. And I remember almost more vividly the people who won't receive as the people who will receive. And there are sometimes a spirit for varying reasons, and we just won't receive. Now, Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. I absolutely believe that is true. But there are times when you need to receive for a lot of different reasons. I'm a blood donor, and I give blood on a regular basis, and I give blood because they would call me. You can give blood every 56 days, and they would call me every 56 days because I'm type O negative, which is what's called the universal blood type. It means I can give to anybody, but I can only receive blood if I ever need it. And fortunately, I've never needed blood, but if I did ever need blood, I could only receive from another type O negative. Any other type of blood would kill me. But not only am I type O negative, I'm a member of the American Rare Blood Donor Society. I've got a blood type. And O negative basically means, the zero means that you have no factors. You don't have the A factor, you don't have the B factor, you don't have the Rh factor. So O negative just means you have none of the other factors, but I've got 7 other factors that are missing in my blood, and they're antigen factors. They're missing in my blood that's present in just about everybody else. I've got this ultra, ultra, ultra pure blood. And the people at the Red Cross told me, said, normally we keep everybody else's blood for about 6 weeks. Your blood we keep for 7 years. So I'm a donor, I'm a giver. But as I began to give blood, I noticed I was starting to get tired and I was getting cold. And then I had my iron level checked and I was low on iron. Then I went back and read some of the stuff from the Red Cross, and they said, if you give blood more than 2 times a year, you need to take iron supplements. So I had to start receiving iron if I was going to continue to donate. So there are points where even when you are a giver, and even when you are a big giver, there are times that you need to receive something yourself. But often the world will have us, for varying reasons, having under the belief that we just don't need to receive, we just need to give out all it. No, 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 no. Jesus, and I want to just use the words of Jesus, as this woman came to give and pour this expensive oil. Now, this oil was worth 300 denarii. A denarii is a day's wage. It was worth a whole year's salary. And do you realize how expensive that is? First of all, I'm not a fragrance man, so I can't relate to that because I don't own any cologne. I don't wear any cologne. I don't even wear deodorant. I don't even use soap. You know, somebody said, what kind of stuff is that? I do my best to keep my body clean. And if I keep my body clean, I can go a whole week without a shower, working out every day, and there will be no smell under my underarms. If my body gets polluted and I start putting enough junk in, no deodorant will stop it. So I do my best to keep my body clean. And if I keep my body clean, it has no odor. So I can tell how clean my body is just by the smell under my arms. So I don't use any cologne. I don't use any deodorant. I don't even use any soap. I just wash off every day under the shower with pure water, and that's it. The only thing I put on my body is Heal Quick Miracle Oil and Heal Quick Miracle Lotion. That's it. Nothing else. So I couldn't even relate to an oil this expensive, to a fragrance that was this expensive. But there are some people who can. My second oldest son, Josie's, he's a fragrance connoisseur. And he's got all of these colognes and all of these fragrances, and they're expensive. And some of them be like, you know, a couple of ounces, and they're $300 or $400. Now, even back in my youth, when I did buy, I would buy some. You all may remember this. They had one fragrance called Brute, and yeah, that's the fragrance that I did wear. I wore man fragrance. I wore Brute, but Brute came in this little green bottle and had a little spout on it. But, you know, you could buy a bottle of Brute for about $1.99. So even now, you probably could get Brute $6 or $7. So a $300 to $400 fragrance was so far outside of my understanding and mentality, I couldn't even relate to it. And we were back in the makeup room before service a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about these fragrances, and they were saying how these fragrances are just so expensive. Some of them $500, $600, $700, $800, $900 a bottle for a little bit. I said, I can't even stretch my mind even paying that kind of money for some fragrance. And then James showed me one of the YouTube reviews from this fragrance. And I want to play this YouTube review. The reason is some of us cannot imagine how this fragrance may have been. We can't even put our minds around a fragrance that she poured the jar over him. And this jar was worth a year's salary. A year's salary. Now, some of y'all, you all know how much you earn. Can you imagine buying a bottle of cologne or perfume and you got to work a whole year for it? What kind of fragrance is that? So, A.V., I want you to just play this. Now, this YouTube is by a black fella. He doesn't look like a, how would I put it? He doesn't look like a fine connoisseur of fragrance. You all see him in a minute. But I want you to just listen, and I want you to imagine that this is the type of fragrance this woman bought to pour over Jesus. Go ahead, A.V., and play it.
Peace. It's Equality Fragrances coming to you from Prince George's County, Maryland. Welcome to the Cypher. Today, I'm going to be doing my full review on my favorite fragrance of all time. No, I don't think it's the best smelling fragrance within my collection, but it is my favorite fragrance of all time. This fragrance blew me away from the first time I smelt it. This is a 10 out of 10 fragrance. Words don't even describe the performance of this fragrance as being a true beast mode fragrance. This is coming from the house of Boadicea the Victorious, and this is Blue Sapphire. I'm gonna be telling you a little bit about this fragrance, how it transitions, what it smells like, and when and how I will wear it. With that being said, let's start the show. How would I describe this fragrance? I would describe this masterpiece of a fragrance as candied lemon citruses laid upon a bed of beautiful, sweet, honeyed florals, contrasted by herbal nuances, spicy aromatic, which in the body has a lot of depth, slightly darkness, with a leathery oud patchouli combo with a nice silky smooth ambery base. That's how I would describe this fragrance. But let me tell you how it transitions and what happens. When you first spray this on, you're gonna get hit with that candied lemon citruses. Think of, if you was a kid and you ever had lemon heads, think of that. But also add like some orange, other citruses with that lemon, although lemon is the predominant feel to the opening of the fragrance. This is also due with two florals that are also in the mid of the fragrance, which come at the top. And that's your rose and your marigold. Marigold has a lemony tinge to it, almost slightly waxy. In the rose here, I get something that's citrus honeyed. To me, it comes off more like a May rose. I don't know if May rose is here. It also could be Taif, but Taif has somewhat of a tea-like feel when I smell Taif rose. And I don't get that tea feel with this fragrance, so it comes off a little more to me like May rose, but I could be wrong. It is contrasted by herbal nuances with the Taygetes and sage, I believe, that's up in the top. You have some spicy green aromatic feel to the opening, which comes from cardamom, which is also up top, adding just this beautiful contrast of sweetness with the citruses and the florals. This opening lasts, and I kid you not, for 3 to 4 hours. Amazing. As the fragrance goes on, you get somewhat of this dark field of depth to the fragrance as the patchouli and the oud comes in. The oud is not overly animalic. I get something that's spicy and slightly leathery. There is nothing animalic about this fragrance. There's a tinge of somewhat of an indolic jasmine that's in this fragrance that's not dominant, that lingers, and that could be where people say, has a slight animalic nuance to it. I think that's the jasmine coming into play that's in Dalek. Kind of fleshy.
Okay.
This fragrance.
If you can imagine this fragrance that this woman, now have you all ever heard a fragrance described quite like that? I mean, for a fragrance to be worth a year's salary, now it is interesting. Pastor James said he ordered samples of about 10 fragrances, and he ordered a sample, and he said that was the worst one of the bunch. But from listening to this, and that's why fragrance is individualized. It's like wine. Some people can distinguish nuances and flavors and all kind of stuff within wine. I have none of that ability whatsoever, and I'm not a fragrance expert, so I have none of that ability. Well, actually, I can't say that, because the Heal Quick Miracle Oil, it's outselling the lotion 4-to-1. That was an oil that I recently reformulated, and the one thing that people love about this oil all across the country, in hundreds of stores, soon to be thousands of stores, they like the way it smelled. I formulated that smell, but it was at God's direction. And God was saying, nope, don't use this, or use this, use this, use this. Take all those others, put them to the side, only use this. So it was by his direction, and it's got a smell that people, the minute they smell it, buyers, they just go crazy over it. So even though I don't have the ability, I am in touch with somebody who does have the ability. So when the lady brought this oil to Jesus, a year's worth of oil, a year's of money, poured it over Jesus, and everybody went to complaining, Jesus had to be in the mindset to receive big. He had to have a wide enough reception thought to be able to receive big. Is your mindset where you can receive big? Some people cannot. They literally cannot. They've been used to so low of a life standard that even when opportunity comes, even when it comes where you're granted all of this, you can't receive it because your mind will not even handle it. If somebody gave me a bottle of oil that was worth $50,000, I'm not even sure I could put that on my body. Now, Josie's could, but I'm not sure I could. So you have to have a mindset wide enough to receive some of the things God wants to bring to you. And when he does bring them, it will often come in the form of a person or an opportunity. So I want to go over the 7 things that Jesus said as he received this $50,000 bottle of oil. And that's about what the equivalent would be. So this is the sayings of Jesus as he received this $50,000 bottle of oil that was poured on his body. Number 1, in verse 6, he said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her?" The New Living Translation says, "Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me?" When a person is doing a good thing for you, consider that good and speak it. You know, sometimes when people try to do something, what they doing it for? When they're doing a good thing for you, consider it good and speak it good. I appreciate this. Thank you so much. It's such a good thing. You know, sometimes we cannot get more because we cannot appreciate that which has already been given. And if you give somebody a small thing and they appreciate it, they begin to open up their receptors where they can even begin to receive more and to receive more. Everybody else is criticizing. Jesus said, "Why are you criticizing her? This is a good thing. Pour it on me." Y'all want y'all to just look and just say, "Pour it on me. Pour it on me." He says, "Open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you have not room enough to receive." God is saying, some of my folk, I'm trying to pour out stuff on them. Their mindset is so small they can't receive it. And I'm not sure if some of y'all brought me a $1,000 bottle of cologne, I'm not sure I'd have the mindset to receive it. I'd have to re-gear, rethink to even be able to receive it. So pour it on me. Number two, he says, she has done a good work for me. Jesus recognized the value in what she was doing. See the value in what somebody is giving you, even if it's a lollipop. And even you say, well, that's got all this sugar in on it. But yeah, it's given in love. And sometimes you can have a child just bring you a lollipop. You've got to be able to see the love, not the sugar, the love. Well, sometimes sugar is love. But you've got to be able to see the love in it. You've got to be able to recognize the spirit and the good. And where all those other disciples could not see, Jesus could see. He said, this is a good thing. Then he said, number three, for you have the poor with you always. There's going to always be needy folk. And sometimes even in ministry, one of the excuses that we will use for not, you know, somebody else needs this more than you. There's always going to be folk needy. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. And it's not just talking about poor in money. You're going to have people who are poor in all areas of life, always. So you can never not receive yourself because somebody else could use it, because it's always going to be somebody else who needs it. It's always going to be somebody running short. It's always going to be folk broke, sick, depressed, and unhappy. Always. That's never changed, and it's never going to change. So you're going to always have tons of those folk. So don't you say, well, I can't take this because somebody else needs it. It's always going to be somebody else needed. So Jesus said, he said, the poor you'll have with you always. So don't you stop. Now, this does not mean that you become a hoarder. It does not mean that you become insensitive to other people's needs. It does not mean that you don't give. But you have to, it's like me giving that blood. So I had to stop and replenish my own blood. My own iron was running down. I was getting tired. I was getting cold. My own energy was going down. So I had to stop, and I had to get me some iron pills if I was going to donate on a regular basis. Because you ever live in the Red Cross, see how much blood they take? So I couldn't keep giving all that blood without taking some back in. Some of you all are drained because you've been given and you refuse to receive. And you've got to be able to receive in order for you to be able to keep giving. Fourth thing Jesus says, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. You can always find somebody who needs some help. He said, whenever you wish, if you want to give to the poor, look, you can do that whenever you want to. You can walk out of this church and you can find somebody within 60 seconds who needs help. So it's not a matter that is going to change. It is a matter that you have to sometimes have the mentality of Jesus. And even though Jesus gave up his life, he recognized there were periods when he needed to be poured on, when he needed somebody to give him something. And when this woman came with this phenomenal sacrifice, Jesus says, let this woman alone. Let this woman give. Number five, but me you do not have always. You're not going to be around forever for folk to give to you. And oftentimes, I am guilty of this as a pastor, and people will try to give me, say, I really don't need it. Get that. I'm guilty of every one of these things. I ain't going to be here for long. I may be here for another 48 years, but after that, I'll be gone. So you will not be here. Jesus knew his time was very short. You don't know how long you're going to be here. So take it while you can get it. There are some things in life, if you don't get it now, you may never get it. So you need to get it while you can. It doesn't mean, like I said, it's not a mentality where you have this selfish, greedy spirit. But it is a mentality of enjoying the now, what has been presented, what God. And if people want to give you something, go ahead and take it. Now, I know there are some people that are trying to give you something. I know there's a string attached. I heard one person say, it ain't just a string attached, it's a whole rope on it. So sometimes I do understand that. But you need to be in the mentality of the wide receiver. Number six, Jesus says, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. He says she's done what she could. Now, what she did was huge. She gave a whole year's worth of sweat and tears bottled up in that bottle of fragrance. What she did was huge, but what Jesus said was this: she has done what she could, be it big or be it small. Y'all don't know some of the things that you all have given me. Matter of fact, on my last birthday, someone gave me $68 because I was 68. I had it in an envelope. I carried it with me in my notebook bag. I took that envelope out 2 days ago and put it in my wallet. So that's $68. I'm going to spend it. I ain't giving it to you. I'm going to spend it. Now, $68 financially is not a lot, but mentally and spiritually is a whole lot. Because I knew the person who gave me the $68, it was a sacrifice for them. So as I spend that $68, and I had three 20s, and then I had a 5, and then I had three 1s, I'm going to spend every penny of that money on me. You got to be able to sometimes just receive. You got to be able to receive. And that person did for me what they could. I remember a friend of mine. He had gone to a particular college, one of the historically black colleges, and they were running into some financial trouble. And he said, you know, if I hit me a big lottery, I'm going to give them a lot of money. I said, well, how much you giving them now? I said, look, if the alumni would just send them $100 a year, if they would just send them $8 a month, if the alumni would just send them $8 a month, it would pull them out of their financial strain and all of their financial issues. Instead of you waiting on trying to hit $100 or $200, $300 million lottery, if you just send them $100 a month, that would make a difference. Do what you can. So Jesus said, this woman is doing what she can. And see, the problem with most people is not that you're not doing something big. You're not doing anything. You're just talking about what you would send them if you hit a big lottery, which you're not going to do. And then if you did hit the big lottery, what I have seen is folk who stingy with a little bit, they stingier with a lot. Because as you earn more money, the giving percentage goes down, not up. So no, you're not going to do that. You're just saying it, but if God granted you with it, if you're not giving what you can, you're not going to give when you get a whole lot. So Jesus says she has done what she could. She couldn't raise him up. She couldn't stop the crucifixion. She couldn't stop the pain that he was going to go through. She couldn't do any of that. But what she could do was take that bottle of expensive oil and pour it over his body. She did what she could. She didn't talk about what she couldn't do. She did what she could. And that's what Jesus recognized. She has done for me what she could. And then number 7, assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. You don't know how it will affect you and how you will affect the world by what you receive. You don't know. This woman had no idea that her sacrificing of that oil would be told throughout eternity. 2,000 years later, here I am preaching about it. She had no idea about that. Jesus knew that by him receiving this, it would be told for thousands of years. But we're not Jesus, and we don't have that kind of prophetic insight. You do not know what you may receive, how that may change the world, because it changes the person who gives it to you. You don't know what your reception or rejection of the gift will cause. And I will open the windows of heaven and pour ye out blessings that you don't have room enough to receive. I remember when reading the book of Enoch, and it talks about the 12 gates of heaven. And I kind of knew this because I knew it from reading the Deuteronomy laws of blessings and cursings. But out of those 12 gates of heaven, he said, Enoch said, 8 of them pour out curses, and 4 of them pour out blessings. You got to make sure you're under the right gate. But when the blessings are poured out, you got to have room enough to receive. You got to have room enough to receive. This very week, everybody within the sound of my voice, someone is going to try to give you something, whether it be a compliment, just a pat on the back, a touch. Somebody's going to try to give you something. And how you receive this. Now, you also need to be able to recognize the gift, because sometimes it doesn't look like a gift. Sometimes it just looks like the routine. Your wife prepares your dinner, brings your dinner, putting it down. It's a routine, but it's a gift. She doesn't have to do that. She doesn't have to do that at all. And sometimes because it is a routine, we take it for granted and we don't recognize, we don't receive properly. Everybody within the sound of my voice this week, somebody is going to give you something. And how you receive that thing, which may be big or it may be small, determines which of those 12 gates pour on you. Most people open up curses just because of the way they even receive what God is trying to give them. Most people open up curses. That's why it's twice as many curse gates in heaven pouring down as it is blessing gates. You got to make sure you're under the right gate, which means you cannot be with the crowd. So when this gift comes, then you need to be able to receive. So I've been guilty of just not receiving things. Just don't bring me any sweets. Please don't bring me any sweets now. Don't bring me no cake, no pies. Don't bring me any sweets. So that's the only thing I ask you, don't bring me. But I've had to regear my mind, regear my spirit to not just being like Jesus in terms of a giver. I need to be like Jesus in terms of a receiver. And this week, you need to be open to that which God will send you. And that gift is going to come through a person. And you need to be able to see the giver. And you need to be able to receive with grace. They may just tell you, you sure looking good today. Oh, no, I ain't looking. And you know that happens with so many people. I ain't looking worth a kuma. I ain't had much sleep. My hair not done. And what happens is you shut the blessings gate and open the curse gate by the words of your mouth. So you determine what's poured on you. So when somebody gives you the gift, don't be like those other disciples. When somebody gives you the gift, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And you take it into your spirit. Because if somebody says you're looking good, they got to see something. They got to see something. You see all of the negative, they see some beauty. So they got to see something. So accept it and become a wide receiver. Become like Jesus and receive the expensive oil that God wants to pour on you and in you. Yes, it is more blessed to give, but it is highly blessed to receive. This week, somebody is going to give you a gift. They're going to pour it on you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the Word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was the message titled, Wide Receiver, by Nathaniel Bronner. This message is number 2039. That's 2039. To listen to thousands of free messages, or to send this message number 2039 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.
From Brothers of the Word.